So here I am getting ready yesterday. I get a phone call from Major Tom saying, you know, there's a Dodger game today to make up for the one that was rained out. I said, I didn't know that. I said, take the day off.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
So I did. I'd like to say it did something really exciting. I haven't. I did. Okay. Hi. Welcome to Thursday. And I didn't know about yesterday until yesterday when I wasn't here to tell you about it. So I should have said to myself, wait a minute, when are we going to make that game up? Because we're right at the end of the season. Anyway. Okay. So anyway, Dodgers split. Here's a. Did you hear the story on the news? They had the Amish hate crimes. And see, here's what they do with the hate crimes. The part of the whole religious thing with the Amish is their hair and their beards. You know what I'm saying? Jewish people. So anyway, so that's the deal. Hair and beards. So what they do is they cut them off. And it's not like Samson and Delilah exactly, but, you know, it's not good. Anyway, so that's what happened there. And, you know what? I know another thing about the Amish. What goes clop, 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 bang, 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 clop, 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 bang, bang, bang. Do you know what I do? That's an Amish drive-by shooting.
This is Tarkus G. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
The MRI system everyone has been waiting for is now at San Luis Diagnostic Center. Patients love it. No more claustrophobia. No more masks over your face. No more tight spaces. And imaging speed to get you in and out faster than any other magnet made. Plus, doctors love its unsurpassed image quality. The Siemens Skyra produces images doctors only dreamed of before. When you need your next MRI, ask for the new wide-open, ultra-high-field Siemens Skyra at San Luis Diagnostic Center. Even if you live in North or South County, drive a little and get a whole lot more. Best image quality, the greatest patient comfort, and the lowest possible price. Why should you go anywhere else? When you need an MRI, call San Luis Diagnostic Center. 542-9700. That's 542-9700 to schedule your exam on the most modern equipment available.
You know, Dad, I just keep thinking about how little rainfall we've gotten this season. And I know we're right on the edge of drought conditions.
You're right, Kelly. That's why at Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, we emphasize the importance of water conservation by featuring environmentally friendly products.
The store has an unbelievable selection of shower heads that offer everything from needle jet sprays to soft, soothing raindrops. And let me guess, the shower heads can reduce water usage.
You got it.
So that's why we're letting people know that the store is the low-flow toilet specialist in Slo County.
Yep, our low-flow toilets can save folks 25% on their water bill. But that's just part of the story, Kelly.
Are you going to tell them the other part of the story about when you got stuck under the kitchen sink trying to install a low-flow faucet?
Kelly.
Dad.
Kelly.
Dad.
For the finest selection of environmentally friendly premium kitchen and bath fixtures, shop at Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath. Behind Trader Joe's, San Luis.
Behind Trader Joe's, San Luis. This one here, I got something froze on the screen here. You know, I've gotten used to it now. I guess you have to. There's no sense of me not telling you, because if all of a sudden now I can't do something, which is, looks like the case until I can figure out how to get rid of this thing, then I'm dead in the water, as far as I know. I can try. Maybe I can not. We'll see. I think I'm dead in the water. All right, let's try this here. Let's do our birthdays and all that kind of stuff in the Tribune and what happened in history. Our highlight is on September 20th, 1962, James Meredith, a black student, was blocked from enrolling in the University of Mississippi by Democratic Governor Ross Barnett. He was later admitted, of course. This day in 1519, Portuguese explorer Ferdinand Magellan and his crew set out from Spain on 5 ships to find a western passage to the Spice Islands. They didn't know one didn't exist. Magellan was killed and robbed, but one of his ships eventually circled the world. 1870, Italian troops took control of the Papal States, leading to the unification of Italy. In 1873, panic swept the floor of the New York Stock Exchange in the wake of railroad bond defaults and bank failures. In 1996, President Bill Clinton announced that he was signing the Defense of Marriage Act, a bill outlawing same-sex marriages, but said it should not be used as an excuse for discrimination, violence, or intimidation against gays and lesbians. It was, though. I forget the thought for that. Our birthdays, actress Sophia Loren is 78, Pro Football Hall of Famer Jim Taylor is 77, rock musician Randy Bradbury is 48, rock singer Gunnar Nelson and Matthew Nelson are 45, they're the Nelsons, I guess, and rapper Young Jock, that's Y-U-N-G, Jock, is 30. Now, I don't know if this is going to work or not. Happy birthday to them, it's you, it's yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, well, it did work, you see that? Okay. Let's let me make sure something else though. Wait, don't before we jump to conclusions. Okay, let me see here. What is that now? Okay, close that. Okay, close that. Okay, I think we're back in business. We are.
Here's the news. Another action filled adventure.
It's the mystery computer. You never know what it's going to do or why it's going to do it. It's like hell. Okay. Speaking of news, let's talk about what's going on in CalcoastNews.com right now today. State health officials collected two more birds from the San Luis Obispo County that were infected with West Nile virus, making it three this year at a time county officials have discontinued mosquito abatement programs in an attempt to save money. Remember I told you? In August, a hawk infected with West Nile virus was discovered in Paso Robles. Another infected bird has been found in the city of San Luis Obispo. On September 10th, a wild turkey infected with the virus was found in Atascadero. There have been 126 cases of the mosquito-borne illness reported in California, with six deaths since the first of the year. The state average is less than seven cases a year. Nationally, human West Nile virus infections and deaths have climbed with 3,142 confirmed cases, 134 deaths, making the worst outbreak of the mosquito-borne disease to hit the United States, federal health officials reported Wednesday. Mosquitoes feed on infected birds, then they can transmit the virus to people and to animals. To protect yourself and others from the virus, eliminate a standing order of your property. Avoid spending time outside in the morning and the evening. Wear long sleeves clothing. Use insect repellent. It was 112 degrees outside. And if you spot a dead bird, I didn't know about doing this before. I thought a dead bird was just a dead bird. But no, call the California State Dead Bird Hotline, which I didn't even know there was such a thing. At 8, you ready to write this down? Any moment, a bird could fall out of the sky. 877-968-2473. That's the Dead Bird Hotline. 877-968-2473. 7-3. The Dead Bird Hotline. All right, so we got one. I didn't know we had one, but I guess we did. All right, then, something that happened that was kind of follow-up to something that happened here on the Central Coast. For decades, ambitious attorneys for disabled people have been reaping an easy windfall by filing lawsuits willy-nilly against businesses for failing to comply with handicap regulations. Critics call the practice abuse, and California now officially agrees. Governor Jerry Brown signed legislation Wednesday, reducing potential liability for disability access violations and allowing time for defendants to correct problems without financial penalties. The bill, SB 1186, by Senate President Pro Tem Daryl Steinberg, also bars attorneys from using pre-litigation demands for money. The measure passed with bipartisan support. The whole point of our state and federal disability access laws is to remove barriers for the disabled, giving them full and equal access to businesses like everyone else. But until now, unfortunately, it was often cheaper and quicker for business owners to settle out of court than to remove those obstacles, he said, Steinberg. My bill will instead provide more incentives to fix the violations and enhance accessibility. After many months of working with businesses and disability rights advocates, this compromise applies common sense to one of these very difficult issues, is what he also had to say. So it does seem to me that that's a move in the right direction. Four Paso Robles men accused of drug trafficking throughout three counties were arrested Tuesday following a multiple agency investigation. FBI agents, San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Detectives, and California Highway Patrol officers arrested four men for conspiracy to distribute narcotics throughout Los Angeles, Santa Barbara, and San Luis Obispo counties. During the arrests and subsequent searches in Paso Robles and Atascadero, officials seized over $80,000 in street value of methamphetamine and cocaine. All four suspects have ties to a big production and distribution ring originating in Mexico with passage through Los Angeles drug trafficking groups, officials said. Two suspects, Edgar Paul Alvarez Rendon and Jesus Alejandro Martinez, fled prior to the arrival of investigators and remain at large. So officers arrested two other guys, and because these names are getting more complicated all the time, they got hyphens, whatnot. Just two more guys. So I'm sticking with that, too. Okay. Now, I didn't get to this because I wasn't here yesterday, but of course everybody know about it now, but it's here, so I'm going to make sure I tell you. I'm going to tell you, and what appeared to be a repeal of a March San Luis Obispo City Council meeting amid allegations that San Luis Obispo City staff's proposed plan to stop homeless from sleeping in their vehicles could have legal ramifications. The council voted to approve the new ordinance in March prior to the city council agreeing to an increase in police raids of homeless who sleep in their cars. Attorney Stu Jenkins asked the council to stop ticketing homeless for parking in their vehicles and return all fines collected in what he called a legal implementation of the ordinance. City Council rebuffed his request a month later. They got Jenkins and Sarwers to file a lawsuit. Anyway, they finally came together and was agreed with under Judge Charles Crandall. In the end, the legal fees slated cost the city several hundred thousand dollars. The city agreed to a settlement to restrict its police from applying the emergency ordinance. The city also required to enforce the ordinance through public information, education, and warnings. As of December 31st, the new emergency ordinance is to be eliminated, according to the settlement. At Tuesday's council meeting, Jenkins noted two issues, a lawsuit filed against the Santa Barbara for an ordinance that banned overnight sleeping in vehicles is on its way through the courts, and the new ordinance put together in San Luis Obispo by city staff utilizing similar signage amounts to what was deemed inadequate in Santa Barbara. So we're back to where we were. So there, not me, I'm where I've always been right here, but the homeless are back to where they were, so that's what's happening into that. And there's one last thing if I think I want to tell you. There's one thing I want to tell you. It wasn't me. Whatever it wasn't me. Oh, here, the Creston Rodeo Clown has apologized, in case you hadn't heard. This guy's name is Mike Hayhurst. And here's his brief apology. Thanks to the founder and defenders of our great nation, we are afforded our free speech rights. With those rights comes responsibility. The Creston Classic Rodeo on September 15th, I irresponsibly told a joke that many people found offensive, and I apologized. This was a joke I read in 2010 and chose to recycle it during the election season. I simply substituted Ann Romney's name, where the original joke used Sarah Palin's name. While no apology will satisfy everyone, I hope that those of you in the Creston area with whom I have had a 15-year-plus relationship will accept mine. I wish all of you much future success with the Creston Classic Rodeo. And on that note,
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
I forgot to tell you something right from the get-go here, and because I ran Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, there's a home show this weekend, and it's going to be up at the Madonna Expo Center, and so they got all kinds of stuff there, and it's a dream, plan, and build, it says, and it'll be from 10 to 5 on Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 4, free admission, free parking, holy cow. They got all kinds of people there, but I want to tell you that that Brian will be there from Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath in the game. So they'll have a display. You go see some of this great stuff I've been telling you about. Here's a remodeling checklist. Oh, get it done. Okay. Is there anything else I'm supposed to tell you about this? I think that's it. Okay. Now there's a bunch of advertising. All right, then. Well, the space shuttle. Is it at Vandenberg now? It landed. Yeah, I think it's landed. And now, then what they're going to do, though, is they're going to fly it all over the place, the space shuttle. No, not the shuttle. The shuttle's not flying itself, but you know what I'm saying. So they're going to fly it all over the place, which is really kind of weird, I thought. And that's what's going to happen. So they're going to fly it over different areas of the state. They're going to fly it over all kinds of Sacramento. They're going to fly it all over the place. San Francisco, LA. Before they finally land in L.A. and say, okay, we're going to take it to the museum where the trees have been chopped down. This is a big story, but I'm going to tell you this. I just saw it. It's a brand new story that just appeared. Walmart is going to stop selling Kindles. Yeah, they really need to buy a Kindle from Walmart. Buy it from Amazon. But anyway, Walmart is joining Target in a decision to stop selling Amazon Kindles, and a move that appears to have come after a pricing dispute The company recently made a decision to stop selling Amazon products after existing inventory runs out, a Walmart representative said. The company didn't expressly give a reason for its decision, but said that this is our customers' trust to us to provide a broad assortment of products at everyday low prices, and we approach every merchandising decision through this lens. So apparently what they're saying is you know, somebody smudged up the lens there, because probably Amazon said, this is what we sell them for at Amazon.com, and so this is what you're going to sell them for. And they didn't like that. All right. You don't have to like it. It's not they're going to sell. Hey, it's not just their, not just they didn't like it. Now they're not going to sell the darn thing. Okay. Other stuff going on there. This is one of the utter stories I've read, because it totally contradicts itself. It's like an oxymoron, the story. Mission Prep staffer says that the vandalism won't bully her. So this is the athletic director who's gay. And so Bailey Brown is relieved. She said, I don't care. I'm not going to let these people intimidate me. And she moved out of her house and moved into a friend's house. Because she's intimidated. But she's not going to let them intimidate her. You know, she moved. That's a fairly major intimidation when you move. Okay, but we'll take her at her word. Who knows where a rumor like this would start? I mean, I don't know where these things start. I don't know who somebody has to maliciously sit there and think, you know, kind of like the crazy people doing funny movies about Muhammad, and then the cartoons now they've decided to go ahead and print. It's like, Anyway, you might as well give Salman Rushdie the Nobel Peace Prize. So anyway, here's the deal. So somewhere this rumor started that our votes, our county, our votes when we vote in November, we're going to be sent to Spain to be counted. First off, I don't know who dreamed that up. Secondly, I'm not sure why anybody would believe it, but apparently enough people believed it that they decided to make an article about it right here. Bob Cuddy wrote an article that said, hey, what are you kidding? They're not going to send anything to Spain? What are you, nuts? What a rip. All right. Now, let me do this. I'm going to jump over here because I want to tell you about something, and I really, really, really want to do a shout-out to Bill Warren for having this story today. And the soldiers who saw hell are reuniting here. So this is Bravo Company 3rd Battalion's 22nd Infantry, outnumbered 5-1 in the battle in Vietnam, and when the smoke had cleared and the dust had settled, some 2,000 VC had been dug in with them, and it was an amazing battle, and you know, it affected these guys a whole lot. So I think there is, let me show you this right, I think the original, let me get my numbers right for you. I'm sorry, I thought I had it underlined. I didn't. Anyway, but anyway, a whole bunch of guys, people got killed and wounded. And so anyway, so they have a reunion once every year. And here it was, 647 Viet Cong died, 31 Americans were killed, 109 wounded. Members of Bravo Company and other military battalions that fought at Soi Tre were awarded President's Unit Citation, the highest honor a unit can receive, comparable to a collective Medal of Honor. For 5 days, these once hardened men and their families will eat, catch up, have a casino night, and party to local bands at the Pismo Beach Vets Hall, a trip to Hearst Castle, touring all the county has to offer is also part of the schedule. So they're going to be down at the beach, they're going to be all over the place, and that's what it's about. And so it says here, post-traumatic stress disorder may have been what General Dwight D. Eisenhower was getting at in his January 10th, 1945. Six speech when he said, I hate war as only a soldier who has lived it can, only as one who has seen its brutality and its stupidity. All right, welcome to Central Coast Bravo Regulars. Thank you for your service to our country and welcome home. Cool. So they're on the Central Coast right now. So if they're wearing a hat, now a lot of Vietnam vets wear hats that say Vietnam vet, or they say something like that. Could you thank them? If you've seen them, could you thank them? Thanks. I received a presidential citation, but I never gave it that much importance. Probably because I don't really know. I don't understand what some of these things are they give you. I just showed up where they told me to show up and did what they told me to do. Okay. Support for the brown tax is slipping, they're saying. And then you have this big, huge issue about, you know, the school district sending out flyers and stuff and putting, voting support Prop 30 and all this stuff. It's not legal, it's not legal, but it's happening anyway. It's kind of weird, really. Let me see if this is today's article online. Oh, no, less than a note. Actually, it was in yesterday's paper, so I'll see if I can get to it. Well, no, here it is, right here, Dan Walters. I thought it was today. School officials circumvent state law, and what they're saying is the California Education Code prohibits kindergarten through 12th and community college officials from spending public funds for the purpose of urging the support or defeat of any ballot measure or candidate. That's this very specific wording of this, and yet that's not what's going on. There's a letter going out to parents and district employees warning the governor's Prop 30 doesn't pass. In November, we will again be faced with the reduction of the instructional year by up to 6 additional furlough days, a loss of learning time, and will impact current students and their performance. It says they circumvented the law. It's not even that. It's just been ignored. You say, well, how can that happen? How can they do that? Well, I don't know. They did it. Here's the thing. Okay, wait. I got something here I want to share with you right here. Let me find out where I got it. Here it is. Let me find it here. We're going to do a little story here. This is the quest to reform the paparazzi.
CNN.
Radio.
This is supermodel Kate Moss being mobbed by the paparazzi at LAX in 2008. By the way, she had her young kids with her. I'm CNN's Jim. The scrum, that is the paparazzi vying for a celebrity photo, is scary and potentially dangerous.
It's one of the lowest forms of employment that I've ever seen, personally.
Sean Burke is a former celebrity bodyguard who now works to help enact paparazzi laws to protect privacy rights.
It's all about money. There's no other explanation.
The recently published photos of topless royal Kate Middleton has renewed the debate over how much the paparazzi steps over the line to get their shots. The word paparazzo, the single form of paparazzi, was first used in the 1960 Fellini film La Dolce Vita. The main character is a celebrity photographer named Paparazzo. Fellini reportedly got that name from an Italian dialect word that describes the annoying buzz of a mosquito. Burke says it is far from just annoying.
I actually vowed to myself, after seeing how disgusting it was, how dangerous it was, how abusive it was, that I just felt that it just wasn't right on a human level, and that someday I would try to do something about it if it continued to be as bad as it was.
After several high-profile paparazzi chases in 2008, including Britney Spears, Blake Lively, and the Kate Moss incident, Burke founded the nonprofit organization the Paparazzi Reform Initiative.
And you would have 8 paparazzi chasing a celebrity down the street. I've talked to so many publicists in this town that everyone agrees that nothing is going to happen until someone else gets killed. And it's the most disgusting thing I'm told. And who's going to get killed is not another celebrity. It's going to be a lady with a stroller going across the street because the paparazzi are going through red lights. And it's going to be a pedestrian or an innocent person who's going to get hurt.
And as we all know, it's not just car chases. Burke says paparazzi who stalk celebrities literally confront and taunt them on the street or even on their own property.
As a security, I was between the celebrity and the paparazzi. The amount of abuse, the things that the paparazzi say to you, accuse you of about your private parts, of about your spouse, of about your mom, your dad, your baby, anything they want to try and get you to react, that in itself is inhumane. Then the concept that these people sit at the bottom of your driveway every day, all day long, 24 hours a day, and whenever you leave, they will follow you wherever you're going. You have no choice, but you have this group following you.
The worst, he says, is when it involves kids. There's a school in Santa Monica where many celebrities send their kids, and the paparazzi is constantly camped out.
There are so many situations of kids, these paparazzi and the parents picking up the famous, I really don't want to name names, but the famous parents picking up their kids. It's an issue here in Santa Monica. There's also a school in New York that constantly has this problem. So, really, we would love to start with, let's back off on the kids. I've actually spoken to People Magazine, the editor, about it. Let's have a moratorium on the kids. They can't do that. It's money. Huge money. The money for people loving to see these little kids, they buy the magazines for them. Suri Cruz and Brad Pitt's kids and Halle Berry's child, it's huge, huge business.
Now, we're familiar with the argument from the paparazzi side, the First Amendment being the top argument. But Burke points out that there are two sides to the First Amendment, including the right of the celebrity to privacy. The it's my job and the supply and demand arguments are weak too, says Burke. But what honks him off the most is the argument made by defenders of the paparazzi, those who say, well, these celebrities make tons of money and enjoy so much fame, they should expect and tolerate the paparazzi.
I really would challenge any normal American to sit in their shoes in this situation. Of course, everyone wants to drive their cars and have their mansions. But I challenge almost anyone to go through. It would be actually a good reality TV show. We should actually do that. Put a normal American in their shoes and have them taunt you and have them in your face and have them photographing you and have them say things about your kids and your wife and not do something about it. It's really hard for me to stomach people saying that they should just put up with it or that's what they signed on for. It's just a ridiculous argument.
Burke says that while there are good laws on the books now that the Paparazzi Reform Initiative helped enact, they still aren't good enough. For example, Closer, the French magazine that published the topless photos of Kate Middleton, was fined and penalized. But, says Burke, they still sold a lot of magazines and made a lot of money. He says somehow that economic well needs to be dried up. Jim Roop, CNN.
Greetings, fellow travelers and fellow students. This is the Good Doctor. Oh, I love this time of year. All those fresh-faced young Western parlor kids, so full of life and other effervescent fluids. Takes me back to my old college days at Boyle Green University, then my master's in Red Bean Rice, and my doctorate from Oklahoma State. I'm here to impart an important lesson to all you new students you won't find in any textbook. Number one, your mama ain't here no more, and she ain't gonna cook you no homemade breakfast. Number two, the Bon Ton Creole Cafe has the best homemade breakfast in town and serves it till 2 p.m. And three, Bon Ton Creole Cafe loves you so much, just text the word Gator right now to 68255 and get a free fried green tomato appetizer, courtesy of the Bon Ton Creole Cafe, where we're not your mama, but until you head home with that sack of dirty laundry, we're all you got. 1000 Olive Street, San Louisiana.
Don't let someone throw you a curveball when choosing who to see for hearing help. There are plenty of dispensers and strange devices out there. Dr. Karen Scott, Doctor of Audiology, has the years of experience, education, and can help you with the best decisions for you, your children, grandpa and grandma, and all those betwixt and between. With Dr. Karen's lineup of professionals, your experience with them will be a bases loaded, out of the park home run. Dr. Karen Scott, the LA Dodgers, and KYNS. What a fantastic lineup. Dr. Karen Scott's office is in the 3-story glass Walther building next to the DMV on South Higuera. Come in soon.
For 125 years, Mercedes-Benz has produced the world's most advanced automobiles, and Star Automotive is dedicated to maintaining those vehicles for many years to come. Hi, this is Brian from Star Automotive. I wish to thank over 1,000 Mercedes owners who have trusted us with their vehicles the last 5 years. The Star Automotive Independent Mercedes-Benz Service Center can be found in SLO at the corner of Broad and Francis, on the web at starautomotive.com, or by calling 543-STAR. We'll keep the smile on your face and the star on your car.
Yeah. She whooped on that dude. I think I'm Mary Wells, and you beat me to the punch. Hi, here we go back and talk to Chief Friends and Neighbors Network today. And we're doing our thing on a Thursday, and we will have tomorrow Karen Vealey in the morning. It's not in the morning. It's at noon. So, I'm sorry. It's at noon, and then at 1:05, 6-ish, whatever it is, we'll have Jim Deans coming in with the Palm Theater. All right. I have a name. I'm going to see if he likes it. All right. So I just want to let you know that's what's going on today. Tomorrow. Today, we're just you and me trying to sort our way through it all. I want to see what this is that I came across. Boy, I'll tell you that. That's no good. All right. I was trying to provide us with really valuable information, but it was not the right place to go. All right, let's talk about counting votes in Spain. No, let's not talk about that again. Oh, we didn't get around to, because I was not here yesterday, Lindsay Lohan being arrested again, this time in New York, for a hit and run. Here's the thing you'd have to worry a little bit about, okay? If someone recognized who it was and they went to the hospital, were fine. There was nothing absolutely wrong with them whatsoever. So the question, you have to wonder a little bit, and I mean this, people love to sue people, you know, especially stars. And so, they could hit the car, they could bang it or something, you know, with their hand and make like they were hit and then roll around and fake it, you know. I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just saying there's a possibility that could happen. So maybe she's not, she is, but maybe, you know. Maybe. Shakira is going to be a mom. Okay, congratulations. Ben Vereen seeks to end his marriage of 36 years. When you've been married 36 years, where are you going? Stick around, pal. The Academy Award nominations will be announced January 10th, 5 days earlier than previously planned. The change occurred because it puts the Oscar nominations 3 days before Hollywood's second biggest film award, the Golden Globules. So they didn't want to do that, right? I said no. Okay. Now, here was another one of these stories where you read it and you go, so? Amenities and culture draw young to Portland. So young people, they're saying, like, you know, post college age people like to go to Portland, Oregon. They like Portland, they like the culture. They like the bicycling. They like the stuff like that. But they don't like the fact that they don't make any money there anymore than they do a lot of places. You know, so I don't know how many young people are actually drawn there or not. There's no numbers. Let's see. The Portland State researchers studied census data from 1980 to 2010 with a focus on, focus on young people aged 21 to 39 with a college degree. They found that the migration of those people to Portland had already begun in 1980 and was consistent throughout the 20-year span. Well, see, it didn't tell you how many, but okay. But then there's people, if you take an age bracket of people that are, what was the age again? 21 to 39, they do a lot of migrating anyway. So, whatever. Okay, fine. Then here's the thing, don't tell me, please, it's not. And you can say it is, but it's not. Art is what I'm talking about. Columbus Monument takes up residence in New York thanks to a Japanese artist. What they basically did was they built a room around the monument. Okay? And this is art. So he's, by the mantle or something. I don't know exactly, in the kitchen, cooking, whatever. I don't know what they posed him as. But they built a room around him. This Japanese artist built a room around him, and then we're supposed to buy that as art. And if you want to, I mean, there might be on YouTube or something. You go ahead. All right. You do it. All right. Now, here's they didn't say what the spec. I haven't heard what the speculation on this is, but this is interesting, I have to admit. You know here's the other amazing thing in its own way. You know the Romney thing that was taped, you know, surreptitiously? Did you hear who that was? It was the grandson of Jimmy Carter. Okay. So anyway, here was taped. But now they say there's 2 minutes missing from the tape. I don't know how they know it's exactly 2 minutes, but there's two, and so they're speculating. Why would there be 2 minutes missing from the tape? You don't know either, do you? Okay, so I don't know what that means. Okay. Obesity rates in California and the nation expect to soar by 2030. Well, okay, that gives you what? 18 years to chow down. So I'm sure we will be fatter by then. All right. Then they had a story that was just, wow. Here they had these kidneys that were, I'm going to use the word harvested. They were harvested from people that were organ donors. And they're throwing them out like crazy because more than 2,600 kidneys have been discarded annually in the past 5 years, and there's 4,720 people that died while waiting for kidneys last year. And so there's some kind of weird paperwork and strangeness and things that has to do with this, you know, organ donor nation thing and all that. For 25 years, the wait list for deceased donor kidneys, which stood at 93,000 on Wednesday, has remained stubbornly rooted in a federal policy that amounts largely to first-come, first-served. It was designed by the government's Organ Procurement and Transplant Program. Anyway, on Friday, the committee plans to circulate a proposal that would leave most of the system in place. The top 20% of kidneys would be matched to the candidates expected to survive the longest, placing older patients at a disadvantage. But the remaining 80% would still be allocated primarily by time spent on the wait list. It's as fair as you're going to get, isn't it? It's kind of as fair as you're going to get. This thing about saying, well, but if this person has a chance to last longer, you know, that's a little strange. That's not death squad-ish, but it's a little rough to take if you're older. Okay. Or maybe it is, I don't know. Fast and furious, no evidence Attorney General Eric Holder knew about the Justice Department's trafficking report, says inquiry finds 14 at fault in the gun operation. Some people have already stepped down. And so that's what's going on with that, the Fast and Furious thing. But they say Eric Holder was not responsible for it. And so fine, good. The inquiry was made, and if Eric Holder had been responsible for it, well, I guess he'd have to take the fall, even though his underlings screwed it up. But okay, me being an underling, I know. You know, these things happen. So just in case, I want to thank somebody, and it's Jeremy from the county. And who very nicely replied to an email I sent and said, well, there's signs out here on Buckley Road that say there's going to be road closures and stuff on Monday and Tuesday, and you know how will that affect those of us at the radio station that have to be here at a certain time to do air shifts? And so he emailed me back and said it is going to be kind of a bummer. Because we're right in the middle of where they're going to do this stuff. We can get in okay. The access will be okay, but not a problem. But they're going to resurface the street or something out here, the road, Buckley Road. And so from the end of Buckley to not quite to Davenport Creek, I would say, they're going to have one lane of traffic with the pilot cars and all that. So if on Monday, Tuesday, you can avoid Buckley Road, if you can, you see some of us can't, but if you can avoid it, I would do so, unless you want to sit behind one of the funny pilot cars and wait. All right, I just want to warn you about that. Okay. Here was a thing. This is interesting. They have this thing about this financial aid scam hits state colleges, and you knew it was going at some point, and so it's kind of a shame. But it brought to mind something else that they had on the news today: 17 people in 6 schemes on 15 campuses netted more than $770,000 in financial aid and loans via California community colleges and online schools. 70 people have been indicted, et cetera, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. In some instances, plotters used identities of severely handicapped people and prisoners to apply for aid, and some recruited straw students with no intention of attending school who kicked back money, the indictment said. So, I mean, anything you can think that's bad about it is bad, is there right there. Then they had a guy who's written a book. I can't remember the name of the book. I'm sorry. I'm not a good person or something is the name of the book. But here was the deal. He admitted to the fact that he typed hundreds of papers for college students because they didn't want to do it themselves, and so he did it, and he considers himself an author because now he's written a book. Okay, so he doesn't feel bad. He said, that's what I had to do to make money. Well, I never really quite buy that. You don't, you have choices in how you make money. You know, you may not have a lot of them, but I would say that most of the time there's a choice that falls on the side of honesty rather than dishonesty. Am I right? I think I'm right. Maybe not in the prison environment, but other places. I just had a model closeout event, and they got free delivery, free setup, free haulaway, and it goes to the 23rd, and 0% finance for 12 months, and so you have all this great stuff, and they have a model closeout events. They have Tempur-Pedics, a couple of those, and the queen set's now only $17.99, and this is the Contour, and the Cloud, like I told you, there's lots of different models, is $17.99, and my Comfort-Pedic Loft. And it's been knocked down to almost $400 to $1,097. Comfort Pedic Loft, which is this new material stuff, and it's been reduced to $1,697 from $2,000. So anyway, there's some great deals going on. Now don't forget, with the Tempur-Pedics, you can get the Ergo Affair, so you can have a bed that adjusts, and you can actually have a king bed that is split in the middle that adjusts on either side. Which really seems to be the way to go, if you want my opinion about that. Anyway, but they're just great bids. And Tempur-Pedic's 2-to-1 seller over every other bid in the country right now, and the most recommended, of course. So do you a favor and get into Ida Sleep Shop. It's on Cross Street, and where Short Street runs into Cross Street, which are two really weird names for streets, but that's because one's short and one crosses the other one. That's why they named it that. And then what's the name of the next street? I don't know what if when you go around the bend, is that still Cross Street, or is that when you go by Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, is that another name too? Anyway, it's in the corner, and you'll find it. And here's the other thing too I want to tell you. If you want to relax, you know, you just say, you know, the cares of the day have gotten on my brain. I need to have a place that's quiet. I want to relax. Go to the sleep source and sleep center and lay down and rest a minute, you know, and appreciate the fact there's hardly a sound in that room, in that building, that whole building. There's hardly a sound. It's really kind of weird. And I noticed, I said when I was there, I said, how lucky are you to work in a place that's this quiet? You know, because I have to listen to myself talk all day. Anyway, so Cody said, yeah, it's pretty nice. And I would think so, too. Anyway, it's really quiet. My life. Because something was goofed up when I got here on the computer. I was ungoofing it. And so then I was going to try to call Idlers and see if they were going to be at the home show in at Madonna. But I'll find out by tomorrow, and we'll know for sure. All right. Okay, Bill. Well, the Railroad to Nowhere has been given the approval of the Obama administration, so there we have the money coming our way. 130 miles of rail will be built by 2017, so that makes it okay for the authorities to start acquiring the first of nearly 1,000 parcels of land that will be needed between Merced and Bakersfield to construct about those 130 miles. And that's we'll see how that goes. I mean, it looks like that's going to get paid for. It looks like the federales are going to pay for that chunk. They may, you know, it may be that the Central Valley is just going to have the greatest train system in the world, you know, and everybody else is going to be out of it. They're not going to have a thing to do with it because it's supposed to ultimately go to San Francisco and L.A. But we'll see. I mean, eventually, someday, huh? California State University trustees on Wednesday said that they will raise tuition 5% if, in fact, the vote goes against Governor Brown's proposal. This I can't have. I wouldn't be on this ride to begin with. I got to tell you the truth. I'm sorry. I don't like heights. I don't like heights. I don't like heights. And it makes me want to wet my pants and whatnot. So these 20 riders are on this thing. They're dangling 300 feet for 4 hours at Knott's Berry Farm. It's a thing that you first go up. It's like one of those old-fashioned kind of swing things. It's just, you know, it's like swings, but it first goes up, you know, 350 feet, and then it swings. Anyway, it got stuck. And it was stuck. It didn't come down is the problem, you know. And it shut itself off, which it's made to do, which is probably a good thing. Because, I mean, what if it started going faster until it started flinging people around? Anyway, so the people were stuck up there for 4 hours. Now, I have no idea what some people had to do that, you know, thought they had to go to the bathroom when they first got on the ride, but thought, okay, I'll wait till after the ride. And they're 4 hours later, they finally get down. But anyway, they finally got them down. They got the thing. They're working on it now. I was going to write the name down. I forgot to do it. It's called the Wind in the Willows or something. UC Davis police officers who doused students with and alumni with pepper spray during a campus protest last November won't face criminal charges. They said there's no use that the force was illegal. It was one of the oddest things I've ever seen. It was completely strange to me. It was completely strange. I'd never seen anything like that. People that are actually not doing anything but sitting there. And then you come up and you just douse them with pepper spray. I mean, sort of. I mean, like, really drowned them in it. Holy cow. All right, that's enough of that. All right, now here's what's happened here. Supervisors have given Shell have given initial approval to Shell Energy North America that gives San Francisco residents the option of getting 100% of their power with renewable resources. So there's a thing, that vote of 8-3, nearly $20 million contract provides a veto-proof majority for a program that will break PG&E's monopoly on the city's consumer power market. San Francisco's the first one to do it. You see that? We can maybe do it here somehow. Anyway, that's kind of interesting, I thought. Then there's a story that the Southern California guy who killed his wife and then cooked her. For 4 days. Okay. That's enough. That's all. And then in Southern California, the guy that was arrested in Valencia in the child threat case reflects raised fears in digital age. Post on ESPN's website lands a 21-year-old in jail. They originally put him in jail on $1 million bail, and then they lowered it. But anyway, but he said he wouldn't mind killing children. And there were unregistered weapons in his house, they found out, he shares with his parents, that overlooks two schools. So the guy's like, that guy's a nut job, you know, one of these people that's not well in the head again. Luckily, he didn't do anything before, you know, they arrested him. Except send a thing to ESPN, which tells you right there there's something not right with the guy. ESPN? I might shoot some kids. I think I'll send this to ESPN. Okay. Yeah, they read it at halftime. That's kind of weird to me, but you know, it's I'm getting used to that weird stuff though. Okay. Other people, other things. Chick-fil-A promises to stop giving money to anti-gay groups, a Chicago official says. So the family, folks on the family, the National Organization for Marriage, those kind of people. And so they said they're not going to do it anymore. They said it's provided a way to ensure that their employees know that discrimination will not be tolerated. It sends an important message and is a very positive step for Chick-fil-A as it looks to expand into urban markets. Now, if I'm gay, can I go work for Chick-fil-A, or will they not let me work there? I don't think it's legal to discriminate against a person who's gay. But you sort of wonder. You really have to wonder. Yeah. I had lunch today with Fred from Karen Scott Audiology, and I had lunch. And so we were talking, and we were talking about places, and we were talking about restaurants a lot and places in LA and stuff. And so one of the places we talked about was Charlie Brown's. And so this is what was interesting about Charlie Brown's. This reminds me. Remember the Seinfeld episode where Elaine noticed that all the waitresses were well endowed, and so she thought it was a discrimination of some kind. So she tried to get a job and she couldn't. And the guy said, "Well, we just hire family members. These are my daughters." So that was kind of a kicker. Well, at Charlie Brown's, they look like they were that way, and they were all attractive. The waitresses. And I thought to myself, you know, why wouldn't you just go into a place and say, you know, your average looking person, say, I want a job, and they say no. And you know that you're being discriminated against because of how you look. You know, I mean, that would be so. I know there's men out there saying that right now. Don't spoil things, Benica. I mean, we like Hooters the way it is, but I'm just saying it doesn't seem right to me. Okay. Now, we've heard, read some good things lately about Obamacare. We had an interesting article the other day in the Tribune about three different situations where it was helpful. Here's where it's going to hit you, though. Nearly 6 million Americans, significantly more than first estimated, will face a tax penalty under President Barack Obama's health overhaul for not getting insurance, congressional analysts said Wednesday. Most would be in the middle class. So they're just saying that there's the penalty. The budget office annually found that nearly 80% of those who will face the penalty are earning $55,000 or less for an individual or $115,250 or less for a family of four. Average penalty in 2016 would be about $1,200. This would be on your income tax. So here's the deal. So this is... an earlier estimate was 4 million people that would be affected by 2016. So here's what I'm assuming is supposed to happen. Let's say everything, the wheels keep turning the way they are. Let's just say, okay. And then you'd have a situation where supposedly these people would be able to buy insurance. I'd say these people. I don't make that much money. But these people would be able to then have an affordable way to buy insurance. Isn't that the idea? Somewhere that would be in place. How, I'm not sure. But somewhere that's going to be in place, I suppose. That's the idea that they have. Okay. As thing there. Oh, my gosh. How funny how time slips away. And it is. It's kind of passed me by here. Unbelievable. We will, let's do some CBS News here at 1 o'clock, and then we'll come back on 1340 KYNS San Luis Obispo and talk about more things that are going on. And if I can find this newsy thing I'm trying to find, I think you'd really like it, but I haven't found it yet. But in the days when phone numbers had a handle right there, Beachwood 45789. I know because I grew up in Jersey and my number was Pilgrim 67556. You're with Bill Benica, Talkers Cheap, Friends and Neighbors Network. That was a long time ago. That was actually when the operator knew who you were in a place as big as Jersey, like in a big city and everything. They kind of knew where you were. You know, I went on Google Earth, and I was exploring the Meadowlands in the area, you know, where the stadiums are. Boy, has that changed. I mean, I hadn't really paid attention. I mean, I didn't realize there's a stadium there, but there's houses and all kinds of stuff there now. And I don't know where they're taking the trash. Where do they take the trash now? Because they used to take it out there and burn it. You know, that back in the day, that's how they did things. You know, back in the day. Anyhow, I don't know what they do now. Interesting. All right, you're with Bill. Let's find out what else is going on here. Let's find out what's going on and to whom and why, if we can possibly figure it out. Let me see if anything in the news hit the news here. Well, Univision debate packed with partisans. That's to be expected. Okay, let me see another thing. Let's see. I'll go see if I can find it here. We'll see if we can turn to it. I think it's supposed to be live now. And it's the space shuttle landing. We can see what the deal is. Anyway, maybe it'll tell you about all these places it's supposed to go. It's supposed to go everywhere, hither and yon. You know, it's in yesterday's paper. I'll find it. But they're going to send that thing all over the place. And then eventually get to this museum down in L.A. We should put the trees in the museum. All right. We're connecting to live stream.
George.
That's not a live stream. That's a woman reading a thing. Okay, that's an ad for a phone, I believe it is. And so you wouldn't, without seeing it, you wouldn't have the faintest idea what it's about. So I'm just going to wait till we get around to it. We'll get there. We'll get there. Oh, they did, by the way, they haven't announced that the attack in Benghazi was actually a terrorist attack and not just part of this riot thing. So they finally acknowledged that. Connecting to live stream, it says. This may take a few seconds. So they have the FBI over there looking into it, too. And then the guy who was responsible for it, I saw somewhere in the news today, said, end of stream. Thank you very much. Catch me if you can. Catch it. Okay, the end of stream. So the guy said, you know, trying to catch me. I might have that someplace, but maybe not. Okay, go backwards then, please. Back to CNN News. That's right. That's back. I press back, and you're supposed to go back. I'm just going to ignore it. Things are going to act up on me. I'm just going to ignore it. See, it's just easier. That's what I'm telling you right there. It's just easier. Just say the heck with it. Okay. Let me tell you what else is happening. Because the world's gone. The world's crazy, and we're right in the middle of it. Thing you got to worry about. This is... I don't know if I got past. Let me make sure I did everything else. Yeah, I did. I was worried that once I got the people stuck on the top of that thing, I probably, you know, pooped out. It was this really weird story today about the slow motion flood in Haiti and Dominican Republic, two of the places that don't need any more grief than they have. I mean, these are the places that do not need any kind of grief in the whole wide world. They have what they call a slow motion flood, and what's happening is it's flooding. It really is. It's slowly flooding. It's engulfed entire villages, and these two lakes keep rising. And they're saying, of course, look at all the rain they had. Can this not be runoff? They say they're not saying it's runoff. They're saying it's a mystery. Maybe they just don't understand runoff. Anyway, they're saying it's a mystery, and these lakes keep filling up with water more and more and more and more and more. And it's really kind of weird. Here's the picture of a guy standing on a wall that goes around a house. That's the roof. That's almost all underwater. So, actually, he's fishing. Yeah, things are going bad. You might as well go fish. Okay, go fish. Okay. Go fish. Now, this is interesting because remember they said in Japan they were going to phase out nuclear energy, and they now backed off from some of that and said they're not going to do it as fast as they said they were going to do it. The cabinet of Prime Minister Yoshihiko Noda said he would take into consideration a 2040 goal, but formally endorsed only a vague promise to engage in debate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they're just saying, well, we'll see. Although, the Japanese are going to be pretty adamant about that whole thing, in my opinion. I would think they would be. And so I would, that's interesting to me. I would think they'd raise heck and darn nation over that whole thing. And again, I got a story here I want to share with you, if I can. This is a better way to fight HIV.
CNN.
Radio. A few years back, Dr. Daniel Halpern was at an AIDS conference. He goes to a lot of them. He's an epidemiologist who used to work for the U.S. government. And this particular conference was all about what many consider the Holy Grail, an AIDS vaccine. But the mood at this particular conference was far from great. In fact, it was toxic, according to Halpern. A room full of brilliant minds, all preoccupied, weighed down, he says, because of some disappointing news about a vaccine trial.
And so I finally raised my hand at one point and said, I also feel, upset that there hasn't been as much success in this field, but there have been some breakthroughs. Two large randomized trials funded by the National Institutes of Health in Uganda and Kenya had found that male circumcision reduces risk in heterosexual men by at least 60%. And in a way, it's kind of a vaccine. And I said, I know this isn't technically speaking a medical vaccine, but isn't this cause for some celebration or optimism? And really, the response in the room was just total silence, and the body language was like, throw this guy out. What is he talking about?
I'm CNN's Emma Lacey Bordeaux, and Dr. Halpern has taken this argument, circumcision and all, from the elite world of HIV researchers to the masses. It's all in a new book with co-author Craig Timberg called Tinderbox. It's an unflinching 400-page critique of the multi-billion-dollar Western response to HIV, especially in Africa. It all centers around a relatively simple argument. Here's Timberg, a reporter with The Washington Post.
HIV spreads with different speeds and really in different ways in different parts of the world. In San Francisco, it was predominantly gay men. In Thailand, it was predominantly in brothels. In most of Africa, it's spread by heterosexual sex among regular partners, husbands and wives and boyfriends and girlfriends. And it's the prevalence of people having more than one partner at a time combined with places where men are less likely to be circumcised. That's the key. Those are the key drivers of the epidemic in the parts of Africa where it's so bad. So you really have to drive attention and resources to those issues. Multiple partners, male circumcision.
Seems simple enough. To slow the spread of HIV in southern Africa, a region that has some 30% of the world's cases, encourage both the reduction of sexual partners and encourage male circumcision. The authors argue these prevention efforts are in some cases misunderstood and even undermined by Western donors. The authors point to locally grown efforts passed over for donor funds in favor of condom campaigns and billboards promoting abstinence. One-size-fits-all approaches that Western donors prefer. Exhibit A, here's Halpern.
The Ugandans themselves in 1987 began developing something called zero grazing. It was a call to reduce one's number of sexual partners, and it has been scientifically documented to have reduced the prevalence of HIV by about 50% over decades.
Zero grazing worked, the authors say, because it used language and metaphors Ugandans were comfortable with. They were speaking their language. Zero grazing used a farming metaphor, something that resonated in a largely agrarian society. And the ads weren't squeamish about addressing sexual behavior in frank ways. Here's Timberg again.
One of the things that's absolutely crucial to the spread of HIV is the number of multiple partners that both men and women in some of these societies have. We document this as really a legacy of polygamy, of traditional ways of marriage that have changed but still kind of exert a cultural pull. And, who wants to talk about that, right? Who wants to talk about the way people have sex, how they choose their partners, how many partners they have, in the same week or month. It's a very uncomfortable subject.
And if Western donors or governments don't want to do the talking, that's just fine, the authors say. It's better to have the locals speak to one another anyway. Like a Zimbabwean singer, Timberg met.
He lost four of his band members and his brother to the disease. And this was a time in the, I guess it would have been probably the mid-90s when Zimbabweans didn't believe AIDS even exist. People would come up to him and say, well, is this thing real? Is this AIDS thing real? And he said, yeah, it's real. It killed my brother. And his saying that is so much more powerful than me saying that, or Daniel saying that, or the head of the United Nations saying that. It's when people who are affected directly are able to communicate with other people in their societies that you can see real change that leads to less HIV.
Now, Timberg and Halpern think there is a place for Western donors. They, like everyone, hope for breakthroughs with vaccines and one day even a cure. They've seen the cost of this virus firsthand and therefore anything that will stop it. And the goals of a vaccine and one day a cure won't be achieved without money and commitments from Western governments and aid organizations. But these authors say since the 1980s, a singular focus on these pharmaceutical efforts has come at the expense of the comparatively cheap efforts, like those local campaigns that promote safe sexual behavior or male circumcision. Efforts, the authors say, have already been shown to save lives and could, if given the opportunity, save many more. Emma Lacey Bordeaux, CNN.
Well, thank you very much, young lady. We appreciate that. Let's see here. All right, and we're going to get to a story here a little bit later on. If I said to you, have you ever heard of popcorn lung? You'd probably say, no, Bill, I haven't. Why would I have heard of popcorn lung? What is that? Now that I've told you, I'm going to get to it right now. This guy had popcorn lung, and this patient got $7.2 million. So you need to hear this story for one of two reasons. Either this was the most amazing thing somebody's gotten away with, or there's danger in them. There are popcorn things you put in your microwave oven. Let's find out. Let's find out now. I was on a science blog just yesterday because I had the day off. I was on a science blog, and they had a thing where a guy invented. I don't know if they're going to sell this at all. I can't imagine they're going to sell this, but who knows? It actually pops out one piece of popcorn and it shoots in an arc about 4 feet. And so if you position yourself in exactly the right place, all you have to do is open your mouth, and it'll get right in there. But one piece at a time. But I think usually when people eat popcorn, don't they usually go for more than that? I think so, too. I think a good old handful of popcorn is kind of the idea. Okay, well, for some reason, this thing just doesn't want to lock and load, and there's no reason particularly that I know of. It cycled through like it's supposed to and made all the funny little noises like it was going to play, but it didn't never materialized. So, okay. Once again, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. All right. Other things that are going on in our world. It might actually be coming. It's hard to say. I think it is going to come. I think we're going to hear it. Okay. So we're going to do the $7.2 million popcorn lung. Now, this actually has to do strictly with microwave popcorn. And there's let me explain it to you. There's a chemical in there. They say there was a chemical. Now they've stopped using it, they said, that somehow could affect your lungs. But we'll find out what they say. I know.
Microwave popcorn was a favorite snack of Wayne Watson's. That was until about 6 years ago when he had trouble breathing.
I've lost roughly 50% of my lung capacity.
Diagnosed with the disease.
The disease is called bronchiolitis obliterans.
That makes getting air tough.
Going up and down stairs, going into the mountains.
Doctors concluded it was caused by the fumes that were released when he microwaved his popcorn. Mr. Watson sued the company, saying it failed to warn him of the risks. After a 2.5-week trial, a jury awarded him $7 million.
It's just the truth, and that's why we won this case, because the truth was on our side.
The chemical in question is no longer used in popcorn, yet his attorney is handling 5 other similar cases. He hopes the size of the award sends a message.
I think that unfortunately, is the history of our country, that large verdicts tend to get companies to do what's right.
While the money will help, it won't cure Watson. His lungs are so shot.
I don't take inhalers. I just do the best I can.
Well, there you go then. So he's doing the best he can with $7.2 million for the popcorn lung. I just told him, now they said they're not using it anymore. And here's the other thing that's a little bit disturbing, is you would have thought perhaps that it might be helpful if they told us what brand of popcorn that was. But now wait, that's not the only corn story in the news. Can I tell you that? Here's another corn story. And here, Bill Benneke said, and I admit I said this, I said, you know, I don't concern myself that much with genetically altered stuff. I just don't. It doesn't, you know, Frankenfood doesn't bother me. It does now. Rats fed a type of genetically modified corn died younger and suffered a range of tumors and cancers, a French study found out Wednesday, reported the online edition of the International Journal of Food Toxicity by a team of researchers at the University of Caen in northern France looked at rats fed on a genetically modified crop for 2 years. Results were alarming. We observed a typical 2 to 3 times higher mortality rate among females. How weird is that? Okay. People are say, we told you so, we told you so. We'll see what else. Further studies will tell us more, but I can understand why people would say, we told you so, we told you so. This is not mean the Central Coast necessarily. This just means in general across the country. And this is a U.S. commercial fishermen landed record amounts of fish last year, including in the Gulf of Mexico. So the come on down thing maybe is making some sense with that thing anyway. There was a value of $5.3 billion. That was up $1.9 billion for more than $748 million from 2010, the report found. So actually, they did do better. So that's interesting news. That's good news, I guess. All right. The more we find out, the better it is. All right. Here has a story about a little league player that was blinded by a ball, but he took one right in the eye, and that can happen right there. Okay. Now this was interesting here. What's going to tell you here? Oh, an actress who starred in the Innocence of Muslims film has sued the film's producer in YouTube. They're trying to get it taken off of YouTube to try to get it removed immediately. But anyway, they were duped into what they were told they were going to do and whatever. And so they've gotten death threats, which you can imagine the way things are going now, and whatnot. So they're like, they're not happy at all about that. All right. Here, let's do our little story about a little guy. Anybody gets a shiner like that needs to have a story told. That's my opinion of that.
Anything can happen.
My computer
then,
doesn't
so
agree
with all bad things don't just happen to bad people. So they can happen to good people, too.
Ryan Steen's life-changing blow came when he was doing what he loved most. He was pitching at a tournament on June 16th when he took a line drive to the eye.
I threw my knuckleball and then I just like blacked out and I woke up on the ground.
He immediately screamed and yelled his eye.
Well, I knew something was wrong because I put my hand up to my face and it was all bloody, so I'm just like, aw, crap.
Ryan was rushed to HCMC for emergency surgery. His mother, a radiologist herself, didn't realize the severity of the hit until she looked at the CT scan.
They showed it to me, and so then you could see that his actual eyeball or his globe was ruptured. And so then I walked out, and I'm like, this is bad.
The line drive tore the actual globe of Ryan's eye, causing retinal detachment. In addition, doctors told the Steens there's also suspected damage to the optic nerve, resulting in 100% blindness in his left eye.
When Dr. Bennett shines a light directly in his eye in a dark room,
a very bright light,
Ryan can see that. That's all that he can see.
What Ryan doesn't need full vision. To see.
I just thought like I'd always be there for him. And
his friends are helping him to regain perspective. A week after his injury, his buddies made these t-shirts.
And they say 3 okay, because my number's 3, and I'm okay. And it says, I play for Ryan, and I is spelled E-Y-E.
And to accompany them, these wristbands.
It says, stay strong, sooner, and the three on the back.
That was pretty awesome. Jay, you have to guard Limerick.
Number three shows, it's not about what he can't do. Instead, it's celebrating the victories accomplished when doing what he can.
Oh!
Ever smell coffee beans roasting? You probably will when you start buying your bags of coffee at Slow Roasted Coffee's warehouse in Los Osos. Slow Roasted Coffee is expanding their own in-house store, which will feature, you guessed it, coffee and accessories. They're open weekdays from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m., and there's always a few free coffees for you to sample. Catch this. You'll save money with the new Slow Roasted Coffee Coin Club. Here's how it works. After each coffee purchase, they'll stamp your coin, and your 10th pound will be free. Of course, your local grocery stores still carry Slow Roasted Coffee, but now you can shop directly at their warehouse. That's right. Walk in the door, and you might smell the beans a-roastin'. You'll find Slow Roasted Coffee in Los Osos at 1172 Los Olivos Avenue near Fairchild. Now in their third decade, Slow Roasted Coffee is truly a Central Coast tradition that tastes great.
In a world where Republicans have recaptured the House of Representatives,
give power to the loonies of the right.
A third party flexes its muscle.
We'll have fun till Obama takes our teabags away.
Fun till Obama.
And airport security has more inappropriate groping than spring break.
Go put your cans in the hands of the man who steals your water.
Isn't it nice to know you can laugh at all of them? Come see the Capitol steps. They put the mock in democracy.
Don't miss the bipartisan party with Capitol Steps, performing political satire and musical mayhem Wednesday, September 26th at the Performing Arts Center. For tickets, call 756-4849 or online at calpolyarts.org.
Makes me love you more each day in your arms.
Heaven must have sent you the Elgins with Bill Benica. Talk of Sheep, Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS, your news station. Thanks for joining me today on this Thursday. Don't forget tomorrow, Karen Vealey and Jim D will be here, and we're going to take care of biz then. All right, other things happen in our world. Other things are going on. They had the, the candidates for mayor and city council. For San Luis Obispo together last night, and so they had a picture of it. And then they have there's different characters here. So there's a total of seven people that are involved in the races. All right, other things have happened. I guess it depends on who you pick, but I don't know. It seems like a good idea. On the surface, it seems like a good idea. If it turns out it was a bad idea, don't say that I didn't think it might be a bad idea, because I'm thinking it might, but it might be a good idea. Wishy-washy. This was the public is going to help appoint a police chief in Paso Robles, so they're going to have some people on the hiring board, I guess is what you call them, that are going to be the public. The public is going to be involved in that, so that's really good. I think that's a good idea. Am I wrong? That's a good idea. I'm going for that. Home sales go up in the county. That's good news right there. There's no other way around that. So home sales have finally gone up. Prices have started to go up finally. Things are in a good way on the Central Coast. Not necessarily every place, but on the Central Coast it is. All right, let's talk about other people that are going in the news here. And this is we already talked about Dan Walters' thing about circumventing the law. And they have the shocking remarks from the. There was a member of the Audubon Society, I think, Doug Anderson, and they're talking about, whole Los Osos Sweet Springs thing and the idea of changing the trees and whatnot. And he basically says, I agree that active restoration measures are necessary to undo decades of poor forest management, yet we need to critically evaluate restoration proposals to ensure they're scientifically sound. We must also recognize the hands of men have inflicted so much harm on the natural world and also have the power to heal it. Such efforts need our support and active participation. You know, we're talking how big is Sweet Springs Preserve? 2 acres? 3, maybe 4. I'll go as high as 4, but it's certainly no bigger than that. So you got 4 acres of land that we're talking about, and what we're talking about is just trees that are not indigenous. They were planted. I don't know how much damage Sweet Springs has suffered because of that. But I guess we're supposed to have this. We're supposed to have these problems. We're supposed to be concerned about the whole thing. I'm having a hard time. Like the native plant people. Okay, you got to have a group to join, I guess. Who cares? Let me put it another way. I don't really care. All right. Then Robert from Morro Bay had this thing about entry fee will stay in Montana de Oro and be used to maintain Montana de Oro, and he'll be able to buy an annual pass for $25. Don't forget, if you're a disabled vet, You can get a free pass forever to the state parks. So something to keep in mind. Well, that's all I got on that thing right there. Oh, and here was the thing. This is, I took the cat. We had a cat. You're saying, Bill, you had a cat? Yeah. And it was a trained it. I helped train the cat, so it was okay. And here's the deal, though. But I once on a bicycle that had a basket on the front, I took it for a ride around a park, and it didn't want to go for a ride around the park. You could tell because it jumped out his way. Anyway, so my wife thought I was an idiot anyway for trying to do it. But here was a story here about people taking cats on a walk, and they say you must be patient, but it's apparent after a week or so that your cat detests it, and you need to give it up. Cat doesn't want to be walked, eh? Cats do their own thing. Like, leave me alone. Get out of my way. I'm doing what I'm doing. They had the big numbers. They had the big numbers about the big number of people in the news and that, and who the richest people are and what they're. What a wonderful. I was watching this thing about, I can't tell you what show it was. It was a news show. But anyway, they were talking about the Gates and how much money the Gates have given away in billions of dollars. To listen to Melinda Gates and her passion for trying to help other people, it was really quite an eye opener. You know, now aren't the Gates the ones that have a 80,000 square foot house or whatever it is, something like that. Okay, so that's you have to address that, I think. But she said that they're not. You know, he said, well, why don't you let you buy stuff for yourself? And she goes, not really. We don't buy a lot of stuff. Okay, they got a lot of place to put it if they did. But anyway, they don't. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in as a side. But here's the deal right here. Bill Gates has $66 billion. Warren Buffett's worth $46 billion. Larry Ellison, $41 billion. Charles Koch, $31 billion. David Koch, $31 billion. Christy Walton and family, $27.9 billion. Jim Walton, $26.8 billion. Alice Walton, so you got to break it all up, $26 billion. If you added all those together, you can see who would come out on top right there. Michael Bloomberg has $25 billion. Michael Bloomberg has $25 billion. That's a lot of money. You know, I would say that he's being the mayor because he wants to be. He's not in it for the dough. All right, here was the thing I wanted to... I've never had one of these, so I don't know. Five Guys Burgers and Fries topped a new survey of favorite burger chains, leaving bigger chains such as McDougal's and Burger King in the dust. Market Force information questioned 7,600 consumers. In every region, Five Guys led the list. And the closest one we have here are Salinas and Thousand Oaks. And I'm not driving to Salinas for a hamburger, I'm telling you that right now, or Thousand Oaks. Anyway, Five Guys. And so it was overall, the list was In-N-Out was second, followed by Fuddruckers, A&W, and Smashburger. Dairy Queen ranked last. There's the burgers being ranked there. Okay. Dairy Queen's atmosphere was voted as the most lacking. Well, you know, that's because they expect you to have an ice cream and leave. the index found pizza chain Papa John's the most fulfilling, followed by Subway and Little Caesars. Burger King and KFC also left patrons wanting more, according to the survey. Wanting more or wanting less, depending on how you look at it. Okay, but I guess if it's atmosphere or whatever, that's probably how it would go. They had an article in the paper today in the sports section about the fact that the Dodgers lost 1-1. Besides that, they say no celebrating these flag days. So this is interesting. These fill-in refs are coming under harsh criticism. But what they're finding out is, even though the games are about 3 minutes longer, they're saying the numbers say there isn't much difference in the NFL with replacement officials. They say the fans are outraged, everybody's mad. But they say that currently they've looked at it and said, you know what, everything's pretty much the way it always is. The only thing is I'll say this, and I, to be fair, when they blow it, the fill-in refs, when they blow it big time. You know what I mean? It's not like sort of, it's not like, well, you know, there was a questionable call. When they've screwed up and I've seen it, it's been like, holy moly. Right. So anyway, but basically... the coaches aren't happy about the whole thing. And I said, they now do it by committee. You know, they have everybody gets together and decides what's what. Which I get a kick out of, to tell you the truth. And I had one more story to share with you. I'm not going to do the whole thing, though, because it's too long. But this is Mary McCary's new book, Uncountable. Uncountable leaves you with an unsettling view. If you wind up in the emergency room needing surgery, or even if you choose a doctor or hospital for your surgery, it can amount to Russian roulette. You might get care, you might not. It just depends. And so here was her story about the doctors and exposing the medical code of silence.
CNN.
Radio.
When Marty McCary was a third-year medical student, one of his assignments was to follow a sweet old lady who was dying of cancer. She was 82, and she told McCary she didn't want surgery or chemo. She wanted to be at home.
She didn't have much family, but she had some family and a lot of friends, and she really wanted to get back to them. She wanted to work on her living will and deed her estate and other things to certain loved ones.
But her doctors pushed her into doing the biopsy because a biopsy is what they always did. The biopsy needle accidentally went into one of her large blood vessels.
She had several close calls with death. She was in the ICU. She had really a miserable 6 weeks. Well, those 6 weeks ended up being six out of her last 12. I was so bothered by the fact that she didn't want this done, but the risks and options were not properly presented to her, that I decided I really didn't want to be a part of this culture. I thought medicine was as dishonest as it was miraculous.
So McCary quit, and he left to study public health. But after a while, he really missed being with patients, so he went back and finished med school. I'm CNN's Libby Lewis. Now, because of that little old lady, and because of a pile of scary, heart-rending medical stories that he has lived through or witnessed or learned about, Marty McCary has become a doctor who's a rabble-rouser. He's written an eye-opening book called Unaccountable, What Hospitals Won't Tell You and How Transparency Can Revolutionize Healthcare. McCary's a surgeon at Johns Hopkins Hospital, and he's a professor at Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. I came to visit him one night at the hospital to talk about the book. It's an insider's look at a healthcare system where studies show one out of four patients is harmed by a medical error, and where experts say 20 to 30% of medical care is unnecessary. On the night I visited McCary, he'd been in the OR most of the day, and around 8 o'clock, a resident stopped by his office with a CAT scan to get McCary's advice about a patient with a cyst in his pancreas. McCary specializes in pancreatic surgery.
And he looks really well. The only thing is the transgastric drain is like right in the center of the fluid on his prior CAT scan. And
McCary's stories leave you with an unsettling view that if you wind up in the emergency room needing surgery, or even if you choose a certain doctor or a certain hospital for surgery, it can amount to Russian roulette. You might get good care. You might even get great care. Or you might get the doctor of the hospital that's the chamber with the bullet in it. What McCary writes about is how hard it is for the patient to figure out how to dodge the bullet by being informed. There are lots of layers to answer why that is. And to illustrate some of them, McCary tells some compelling stories. He writes about a code of silence among doctors against blowing the whistle on dangerous doctors. Breaking that code, he says, can end your career. So many times during my residency, he writes, I just wanted to tell patients to run away. McCary's on a mission to get doctors and hospitals to talk openly about medical mistakes.
Well, I feel like unless we can be honest about our problems, we can't fix them. And that's been the problem for too long.
The problem for too long right there. All right. You're with Bill, talk of Chief Friends of Neighbors Network, and I thought I'd share that with you. You know, the other thing that's been going on, that and this is weird that I've noticed, I have lots and lots and lots of acquaintances and friends and people that are having knee surgeries because you get to a certain age, your knees poop out. And, boy, talk about a crapshoot. And they can go to the same doctor. You know, they can be using the same doctor even, and they end up, some people end up with a successful knee surgery, and other people end up just in a mess. And it's really kind of, it's just weird. So I don't know what they say to someone that's going to have knee surgery. I don't know what they say their odds are that it's going to be okay. But if you ask me what I would think would be the right thing to say to people, it would be 50-50. I would say half the people I know that have had a very successful knee surgery and half the people I know didn't, that have had knee surgery, obviously. So that's just my opinion. Here is a lady that wrote an article. And she's a resident of San Luis Obispo, and she was paralyzed after being hit at the intersection of Ontario Road and the on-ramps to 101. Where this doctor was recently killed, Dr. Damien Horseman. And so she says this is really a dangerous place to be. She said she rode her bike. There was nobody coming. So she said all she was trying to do was ride her bike across the roadway, and a truck that was coming around the bend as it exited from Highway 101 south As the truck came around, he didn't have time to see her and time to slow down enough to not hit her. And she said that there's just no way around that. Now, and I was observing this the other day, and I said to you, well, if it's somebody getting on the freeway, you can see them coming a long way away. But in fact, someone getting off the freeway, you might have problems seeing. I can certainly see that. She said, well, maybe we need an overpass or something. I don't see that's going to happen. But I don't know what would have to happen. But the fact that it's part of the city to the sea bike route does beg to be asked. You know, is there anything in the whole wide world that you know could happen? Because you know, people tend to come off of freeways pretty darn fast. If you said, okay, what if you put a light system into some kind? You know, oh, don't walk and walk and all that kind of thing. People tend to come around those curves awfully fast. So I don't know if I'd hold much hope for that. Anyway, so my heart goes out to her because she had a concussion, broken ribs, and a crushed vertebrae from her accident. Anyway, so she said something really needs to be done there, and I'm not sure what it would be either, but you know, I can see where she'd be concerned about it for sure. Then we had Jim from Napomo. Recently, a 100-year-old driver in Los Angeles drove over a crowd of people. Unfortunately, this is not an uncommon occurrence. So he goes on and says, the ARP and other groups would be hard-pressed to decry age discrimination if the testing set is aged at 45. So his idea is that after 45, you'd be tested to make sure you can still drive okay. Now, we know the problem isn't with 45-year-olds. We're very aware of that. But when they did try to do it, what was it, 70? I think it was 70. Don't hold me to that, but I'm pretty sure it was 70. That when you got to be 70, you'd have to be tested more often. And the ARP people and everybody shot it down. They rallied and cried out and said, here, we're, and lobbied and said, we don't want that. And so consequently, we don't have anything. Somewhere along the line, you wonder, is there someone who knows the 100-year-old man who should say, you kind of need to stop driving? I had a neighbor years ago that was, he was 8,000 years old, and he was a terrible driver. I mean, he just was terrible. So I finally went to him and said, you know, why don't you let me just take you where you have to go, you know? And so I did. And he didn't have to go that many places. He went to the store once a week. He went to the VA hospital down in Long Beach, you know, once every 3 months or something. But, so it wasn't like a lot of work. Anyway, but that's something that, you know, people have to keep in mind. But this idea of, you know, saying, well, if we test people at 45, then maybe the older people won't notice. They still don't want to be tested. Got to break the news to you. And of course, somebody 45 shouldn't be tested anyway. So we haven't won that one, as I can tell. You know what I'm saying? We just haven't won that one, as far as I'm concerned. Okay. Other people on the news. This was interesting, this comment here. As Islamic extremists continue a campaign of anti-American violence over innocence of Muslims, a wretched piece of Islamophobic propaganda is apparently an article of faith for many in that world that the film represents a U.S. government attack on Islam. CNN's Fareed Zakariah says they have a total lack of understanding of freedom of speech and opinion because they've never had freedom of speech and opinion, so they haven't the faintest idea what it is, which you'd have to sort of appreciate, yes? I can understand that they wouldn't. But I mean, the fanaticism I still don't quite get, but you know, they certainly wouldn't understand what we can do here. It just would be unheard of. Now, this is interesting. You know what they're using as a measure of how we might be doing economically coming up here is they look at what FedEx says they're projecting in the future, and FedEx is projecting quite a large slowdown. And so it's kind of like a circle of horses and batten down the hatches.
Oh, yeah.
at tomorrow's Friday, TGIF. Karen Vealy and Jim D will be here, and I wish you have a good day. So until 12 noon tomorrow, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because...
This is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network. Game over. With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.